Well, we are back today after a short break last week to our series, Knowing Jesus and Making Him Known. And since the beginning of January, we've been looking at John's Gospel. And if you've been with us, you will have heard us talk about how Jesus turned water into wine back in chapter 2. He turned tables over in the temple at the end of chapter 2. Chapter 3, Jesus meeting with the religious leader and telling him he had to start all over again to be born again. And in chapter 4, meeting the woman at the well and having that long discussion with her. And then Eunice leading us a few weeks ago through John chapter 9 and the healing of the eyes of the blind man. And by the way, if you've missed any of those and you'd like to catch up, our website has recordings of all of those. And if you want to find out more, come and see one of us at the end and ask us for directions. But each week we've seen how Jesus used dramatic and sometimes shocking actions to put his points across, to communicate deep truths to those who were listening about his identity, about his mission, and about our need for help. And this week is no different. I've put a chair here. By the way, don't worry, we're not going to wash anybody's feet, in case you're worrying. But some of the things that Jesus used are here at the front to remind us as we go through of what happened. Jesus was halfway through a meal when he got up, took off his outer cloak, took up a towel, and went around the table washing his disciples' feet. And perhaps as you heard Liz read the story, familiar maybe to many of us, you were thinking, what on earth is going on here? What does this all mean? We're thinking about knowing Jesus and making him known. What does this tell us about Jesus? And what might it show us about how we are to make him known to our friends, to our neighbors, to our family members? How might this story shape us as we think about that? Well, we're on page 1081, I believe, in the Bibles. If you're able to follow it with me, that would be really helpful. Just check I'm not saying anything out of order. And we're in John chapter 13. So we have skipped over a chunk of the gospel. We've missed out chapter 10, 11, and 12. And chapter 12 we will come back to on Palm Sunday in a few weeks, the Jesus entering into Jerusalem. But we simply can't cover everything, so we're having to pick certain parts that we will focus on. But if you notice in the first verse of chapter 13, we're told it was just before the Passover festival. And that's good timing for us today because we're here in the second week of Lent. We're looking forward to Easter, which of course is the same time as the Passover meal. And we see what John has to say. Jesus knew, this is verse 1, that the hour had come for him to leave the world. And if you were here back in January, you may remember chapter 2 and verse 4, when Jesus is at a wedding in Cana and his mother comes and tells him the wine has run out. And Jesus says, my time, my hour has not yet come. But that hour is now approaching. That hour is almost here. And Jesus knows it. And so he gets up and he serves his disciples by washing their feet. Now, washing feet today as then was not a very glamorous profession. And it wasn't something that people would normally do to their peers. It was something that a servant or a slave might do for somebody. But actually, usually, people would wash their own feet. And you'd go into a house with your dusty bare feet or sandals and you would be given a bowl of water, perhaps like this one, probably not plastic, to wash your feet with. And that, if you go back to Abraham in Genesis 18, that's what Abraham does for the three men who visit him. He prepares water and gives it to them and they wash their own feet and then they carry on. But for whatever reason, on this occasion, they're here around the meal table. They've started, I don't know where they are in the meal, main course, dessert, who knows. But they're in the meal and they haven't yet washed their feet. There has not been a servant or a slave there to help them until Jesus stands up. And we're going to look and think about few aspects of how Jesus serves. And if you have one of these yellow bits of paper on the way in, they'll just give you an outline of where we're going with this, and you might like to scribble on it or just ignore it completely, or however will be helpful for you to keep as a record of what we look at this morning. But let's look first at how Jesus serves and then how Peter responds. So Jesus serves, firstly, verses 1 through to 7. He serves, firstly, because he loves. He serves because he loves. Do you notice that in verse 1? Everything that Jesus does in this passage springs from his love. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. You see, Jesus serves because he loves. He loves first. And that love in action is what he does in the service. This is what love looks like. Jesus doesn't wash his disciples' feet because he felt obliged to. He doesn't serve because it was his duty, because he was on the rota. He serves because he loves. Now, secondly, he serves unconditionally. He serves unconditionally. We see that in verse 2. And it's impossible to miss Judas in this passage, isn't it? He's there in verse 2, where we learn that he'd already made plans to betray Jesus. He's referred to in verse 10 and verse 11. And then the whole next passage, verse 18 through to 30, is all about Judas and his betrayal. And I think that's important because it puts the act of service, the act of foot washing, in the context, not of everybody being jolly and getting on with one another and it all being lovely and happy. It's in the context of betrayal. It's in the context of increasing opposition, in the context of violence being threatened. Jesus in chapter 12 has had to go into hiding because it's too dangerous for him to be out and about. And here we are in the middle of this room, in the middle of this group, at the meal table that Jesus sits at, there is a traitor, Judas, who will betray Jesus, and Jesus knows it. And yet, Jesus washes Judas's feet. Jesus washes Judas's feet. You see that in verse 12? When Jesus had finished washing their feet, he'd finished, he'd gone around the whole room, and then he sat down. You see, Jesus serves unconditionally, even those who would betray him. He doesn't choose only to serve those who showed him respect, only those who liked him or he liked. He didn't choose only those who agreed with him, who thanked him, who behaved well, who kept quiet when they were supposed to and followed the rules. No, Jesus serves unconditionally. And thirdly, Jesus serves with confident assurance. With confident assurance. We see that in verse 3. Jesus knew the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Verse 3. Jesus knows who he is. He knows where he's come from. He knows where he's going to. And he serves with that confidence, assured in his identity, knowing that God was at work, not fearfully, not timidly, not worrying about what other people might think. No, Jesus serves with confident assurance. And fourthly, Jesus serves to illustrate the gospel. Verses 4 through to 7. Now, if you read carefully, if you listen carefully, you will hear a deeper note to what Jesus does here. He tells the disciples in verse 7, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." So we have verse 4. Jesus gets up. He takes off his outer clothing. He picks up a towel, the symbol of a servant, and he puts it on. He pours out water. He kneels at their feet. He serves them. And when he's finished, in verse 12, he put his clothes back on and he took his place. Friends, this is the gospel story acted out for us. We started the service with Philippians chapter 2. Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, made himself nothing, took off his outer garment, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God exalted him to the highest. You see that? You see how it goes? He takes off the clothes, he kneels down, he serves, he comes back, he puts his clothes on, he retakes his place. And as the disciples look back on this story, on this event, on this foot washing after Easter, I think they understood what Jesus was doing. Jesus was giving them a powerful visual aid, something they could remember, something that would stick in their minds to explain, this is what I'm doing. This is who I am. This is the good news I've come to share with you, that God became man to serve, to save. So Jesus serves because he loves. He serves unconditionally. He serves with confident assurance, and he serves to illustrate, to play out the gospel before his disciples. How about Peter? Let's turn to Peter. How does he respond? Verses 8 through to 11. I think Peter is really useful for us in this passage because we are familiar maybe with the story. We are a long way away from the culture of the time. We struggle to understand just how shocking Jesus' actions are here. But Peter helps us. Look at Peter's question in verse 6. Jesus comes around the table. Peter is appalled. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus says, no, no, you'll understand later. But Peter won't budge. See that in verse 8. No, you shall never, ever, there's two nevers in the sentence. You will never, ever wash my feet. Never. It's quite a reaction. Peter refuses. Why? Why does Peter refuse Jesus? Is he scandalized that Jesus, the Master, the Lord, is doing a slave's job? Is he embarrassed? It just doesn't feel right. Is he embarrassed that his feet are in a state? Is he ashamed that he didn't offer earlier? Is he too proud to admit that he got it wrong? Well, the refusal is clear, isn't it? Jesus, I won't let you wash my feet. I won't let you serve me. But his refusal doesn't last long, does it? Jesus tells him, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And Peter does a very quick U-turn. A politician would be proud of this U-turn, wouldn't they? In that case, not just my feet, but my hands and my head too. And Jesus has to explain to him, verse 10, those who've had a bath need only wash their feet. Their body is clean. And you, says Jesus, you are clean. It's not the washing of the feet that will make you clean. That just cleans off the dirt from the journey from your place to here. To be clean all over, well, you need a bath. And that's a different thing. And later in John chapter 15, Jesus will tell his disciples, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. It's through trusting, through believing in Jesus' words that we have eternal life. We have eternal life when we believe. We're made clean. And we celebrate that here. We have a baptismal pool here that we celebrate the outward symbol of the inner reality that we've been made clean when we trust and believe in Jesus. And if, by the way, if you want to talk more about that, then please speak to me. I'll be happy to talk through it. But let's come back to this foot washing. Why is it that these disciples needed their feet washing? Why is it that their feet were dirty? Well, they were dirty because their feet had picked up dirt along the way. The feet were the part of the body that had the most contact with the world, the most contact with those parts that would get messy and dirty. And I was thinking this last week, what would be the modern equivalent of that? Our roads and our pavements actually are pretty clean by and large. Our foot hygiene, I suspect, is a lot better than it was in the time of Jesus. So what is it that you and I might need washing this morning? Maybe not our feet. I hope not our feet. But what else? What parts of our lives, our experiences, have had the most contact with an atmosphere or an environment that's likely to cause dirt and damage? Where is it that we are having most contact with a world that is dangerous and damaging for us? Do our web browsers need washing? Or our mobile phones? Or our TVs? Or our conversation? Or our thought lives? Or areas of our lives that we need cleansing and washing this morning? And I've said it already, but say it again, that a home group atmosphere, the home group, is a place where we can share some of those things in a small group and very helpfully encourage one another to deal with some of those things. Peter refuses to allow Jesus to clean his feet. He doesn't want Jesus to serve him. And I think there's a challenge here for us this morning. Where in our lives does Jesus want to say to us this morning, I'd like to wash, to clean that part of your life? Will we refuse? Will we refuse to allow Jesus to serve us, to clean us this morning? Maybe because of our embarrassments. Maybe because of shame. We don't want to admit that we got this or that thing wrong. But we need that daily, that washing of our metaphorical feet, whatever that might be. You see, if we've believed in Jesus, if we've trusted in Jesus, we are clean, but our feet still need washing. And if you'd like to speak with somebody afterwards, I know that any of our deacons, Sahel, who prayed, Barbara Ann, Mike, Roger, we are happy to pray with you at the end of the service if you'd like to do so. Let's not refuse Jesus as Peter tried to do. But finally, let's come to the last few verses, verses 12 through to 17. So we've seen Jesus serving, we've seen Peter refusing, and then finally, Jesus calling us to follow his example. Do you understand what I've done for you? Jesus asks in verse 12. Verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so. Now that I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. You also should wash one another's feet. I think not literally, although there's nothing wrong with it if people are happy to. But let's go back to those four characteristics of how did Jesus serve? How did Jesus serve? Well, Jesus serves because of love. Jesus serves because of love. And so this morning, I'm not going to try and strong-arm anybody into signing up for a rota or joining the junior church teaching team or the coffee rota or whatever else, because we're at risk there of serving because of duty, of serving because we think we should. And actually, Jesus serves because he loves. If we love, we will serve. That's the way round things should go. Jesus' example. Jesus serves others because he loves others. That's how it should be with us. Jesus serves unconditionally. Well, we aren't called only to serve those people we like, those people who are nice. And let's be honest, some people are easier to serve than others. Jesus served even the man who was going to betray him. If we follow the example of Jesus, we too will serve unconditionally. Jesus serves with confident assurance. What does that mean for us? Well, we are not the Son of God, but we are children of God. We are friends of God. And do we know that? Are we confident in our identity that we are loved by God and therefore we can serve others confident in who we are, not looking for approval from anybody, not because we want to be liked, but confident in who we are, where we've come from and where we're going to. And then finally, Jesus serves to illustrate the gospel. You see, genuine sacrificial service, even if it doesn't tell this whole story like Jesus did here, genuine sacrificial service does point people to the bigger story that we proclaim. Sometimes when we serve others, we have an opportunity to talk about our faith in Jesus. And other times, we just have to let the actions do the talking. And trust God will use that to communicate. But Jesus serves to illustrate the gospel. Our service, too, illustrates the gospel. And if we serve not out of love, but out of duty, if we only serve those that we like, if we serve to get approval from others, that is not pointing to the gospel. That is not illustrating the gospel. That's illustrating something else entirely. Well, my vision for this church, for Harborne Baptist Church, is in the box at the bottom of the piece of paper you have, that everybody here finds somewhere or has somewhere to serve. And also that everybody has somewhere to grow. Everybody has somewhere to serve. Everybody has somewhere to grow. Maybe the growing is the home groups. Maybe the growing is in other places. And the serving too could be in all sorts of different ways. And like I've said, we're not going to push that now. But encourage you to think about, how is God challenging you this morning to explore serving and growing? And those two things go together. Jesus gave us this picture of service when he served his disciples. We can look this morning, we can learn this morning, we can be encouraged this morning.